The following is a production of Vanderbilt's Owen Graduate School of Management. For more information about Owen, please visit owen.vanderbilt.edu.
This is Rob Simbeck for the Vanderbilt Owen Graduate School of Management. I'm talking today with Nick Bolin, E. Bronson Ingram Professor of Finance, about hedge funds, a higher risk, less regulated, and rapidly growing segment of the investment world. In an era of fund implosions and the subprime mortgage crisis, hedge funds remain an attractive area for big league investors. But a study by Professor Bolin, along with Veronica K. Poole of Indiana University's Kelly School of Business, raises cautionary flags about the way hedge fund managers manipulate data in reporting gains and losses. Nick, welcome. First of all, help me pin down a little more the definition of hedge fund.
Well, the term hedge fund is used to describe a type of pooled investment vehicle. Now, hedge funds differ from mutual funds in a number of ways. The most important differences stem from their lack of regulation. Hedge funds are usually structured so that they are exempt from the SEC's Securities Act, Investment Advisors Act, and Investment Company Act. These date from 1933 and 1940. These exemptions require that hedge funds only accept capital from qualified investors, which means institutions and wealthy individuals. The exemptions also limit the number of investors in each fund and prohibit hedge funds from advertising. The exemptions allow hedge fund managers to trade in ways that mutual funds cannot, including using lots of leverage to amplify their positions, short-selling assets they think are overpriced, and trading in illiquid securities.
Now, how are those funds doing right now? It looks like we're coming off a pretty good year for them.
Well, according to hedge fund research, the average long-short equity fund, which is the most common type of hedge fund, returned 10.5% in 2007, compared to 5.5% for the S&P 500. However, 2008 has started out very badly, with about three-quarters of funds reporting losses in January. In addition, there have been some catastrophic losses at some funds, especially those at some investment banks, including Bear Stearns and Citigroup.
Now, you said that hedge funds are less regulated than many other investments. Are they understudied as well?
Well, the growth in the hedge fund industry has stimulated a lot of new research. Hedge funds are considered to be a hot research topic right now. But despite this new research, there's still a lot that we don't understand about them, such as the types of risks that they take and the manner in which managers generate their returns.
Well, now what did you want to achieve with your study? What specifically were you looking at?
Well, Professor Poole and I have conducted two studies that look for suspicious patterns in the returns that hedge fund managers report to databases. I mentioned that hedge funds are prohibited from advertising in order to remain exempt from SEC regulation. This means that one of the only avenues managers can use to spread the news about their performance is by reporting returns to commercially available databases. Now, since many hedge funds invest in illiquid securities, there's often a lot of discretion regarding the value of their portfolios and hence their returns. This suggests that some managers might be able to make their performance appear better than it really is.
Now, tell us about your most significant findings.
Well, the clearest result that we found is that there's a discrete break in the distribution of hedge fund returns, so that the number of reported returns just below zero is sharply lower than the number of returns just above zero. This suggests that managers might be rounding up the returns of the portfolio by overvaluing some of their positions. Now, looking at the number of returns just below and just above zero might seem like a peculiar way of documenting potentially fraudulent reporting, but it turns out that this sort of analysis has been used to test for fraud in a number of different contexts, including sports betting, proxy voting records, and elite sumo wrestling in Japan. For hedge funds, though, the simple idea is that managers know investors respond to losses by withdrawing their capital. This lowers their income and may be costly to process if the hedge fund is invested in illiquid securities and the manager has to sell those at a loss. This could lead to future performance that's subpar and hence lead to additional outflows. To avoid this sequence of events, managers could overstate the value of their portfolio when necessary.
Are there other ways managers can manipulate the data?
Well, the key is that the hedge fund portfolio must include positions in illiquid securities so that market prices aren't readily available. Only then is there a substantial leeway in the valuation of the portfolio. We found, for example, that the equity hedge funds in our sample did not feature this discontinuity at all, whereas other hedge fund categories did.
So overall, how serious is the manipulation of data you found, and how widespread does it appear to be?
Well, it's fairly widespread. In terms of how serious it is, the discontinuity does not necessarily translate into an immediate loss for investors. I think it's important, though, because investors might be misled by the lack of losses that they see in their portfolio. So they may understate the risk of the fund and may be in for a rude surprise somewhere down the line. For example, investors in the Bear Stearns hedge funds that collapsed last year claim now that they were misled by the manager during conference calls in some discussions related to the value of the portfolio and the likelihood of future losses. In fact, the manager of those funds is currently the subject of a criminal probe.
Were their problems representative of what's going on industry-wide, or were they pretty much theirs?
Well, I don't want to extrapolate too much from that simple example, but I think it certainly illustrates what can happen when managers have a lot of discretion in valuing their portfolios and when investors have little hard data when making decisions. I think it's wrong to paint the industry with too broad a brush, however, since, as I mentioned, it's only in those hedge funds with significant positions in illiquid securities that appear to be at risk of misreporting.
So what are the financial lessons here overall, both for investors and perhaps for regulators?
Well, from an academic perspective, hedge fund misreporting is the result of what we call a principal-agent problem, in which the principals, which in this case are the investors, delegate management of their capital to the agent, which of course is the hedge fund manager. Now, past analysis indicates that there are three tools that can be deployed to deal with this sort of a problem. The first is to foster greater competition between the agents. The second is to require greater transparency and information flow between the principals and the agents so that the investors can figure out what's going on. And the third is to develop effective regulation to try to prohibit or at least discourage the questionable behavior. Now, the hedge fund industry is already quite competitive, so it comes down to either greater transparency or more regulations, such as requiring that all funds outsource the valuation of their portfolios to a third party.
Now, the courts have so far kept the SEC from imposing any more regulations on hedge fund managers. Do you see that trend continuing?
Well, the SEC was created to protect small retail investors. And by design, hedge funds are exempt from SEC regulation because they ensure that small retail investors cannot invest in them. Now, as the SEC has recently experienced, it takes a lot of political will to rewrite the original SEC laws, and I don't see that happening anytime soon. This suggests that hedge fund investors will continue to kind of fend for themselves when battling the principal agent problem. Now, large institutional investors have enough clout to demand more information from their hedge fund managers, but individuals are likely at risk, and so they must be comfortable with the particular manager to whom they've delegated their money.
And finally, is there anything you particularly would like to see come out of all this?
Well, in Europe, hedge funds have developed a series of best practices with their industry, and I think this might be the best solution because it allows the marketplace to determine the optimal response to the principal agent problem, and I hope that hedge funds in the U.S. agree to a similar set of ideals.
Thank you, Professor Bolin. Nick Bolin is E. Bronson Ingram Professor of Finance at the Vanderbilt Owen Graduate School of Management. For Owen, this is Rob Simbeck.